Good morning, Saints. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to pick up here in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. That's where we've been in chapter 8, 9, and 10 here, talking about pretty much one subject here. And you know what? Exciting day today. A lot of, you know, exciting things going on and what's coming up. And the fall kickoff next week, Awana Club, the Sunday school classes, all that we got going on, the adult classes. Just a good time of year. And our text that we're going to look at this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 through 11, 1, so we're going to look at. Here's Paul's final summary on the principles of Christian liberty. We've been talking about this for quite a while, the principles of choice. You could put it in that way. Chapters 8 through 10 are dealing with that one subject, answering really one question: how does the Christian function? How do believers function within the framework of our freedom to choose? In Christ, we have the freedom to honor the Lord, to live for the Lord, to walk with Him, to serve Him, to in the choices of our life, and that's what we've been talking about for many weeks here. Been discussing it in detail. Certainly today we cannot, you know, even though this is a summary, we cannot cover all that was said. So if you miss some of that through the summer, that happens. We miss some time that we're here. You can get the CDs and get all the detail. But for today, we're going to summarize like Paul summarizes. That's what we're going to do. Bottom line here, here's the bottom line in the summary: making choices for God's glory. That's the summary. With our freedom to choose on how to live, we are to be making choices for God's glory. That's how you could summarize this. You know, let me ask you a couple of questions as we begin here, and you find your spot and your place and get your notes out, that kind of thing. Let me ask you a question. I want you to think about your choices in the month of August. Today's month is August 31st. I don't know if you can remember most of your choices you made this month. How about you? There's been a lot of them, right? You've chosen to do a lot of different things. You've chosen to, you know, what you do here and where you go there and your time you spend and what you eat and if we're going to do laundry first or we're going to do the yard work. Think about all the choices that you made. You've made a lot of choices. Let's start with today. Let me give you an illustration. How many of you have chosen to open your Bible, to follow along, to take notes, and write something down? How many of you have chosen to do that? It's not a sin to choose not to do that. It's not in God's word to say, oh, if you don't open the Bible, follow along, Pastor Kent, first chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, we're looking at that. Take notes, write something down, that somehow it's against God. You make a choice. You have the freedom in Christ to choose how you would live. Since I've said many times as we went through chapter 8 through chapter 10 that God is teaching on the subject of Christian liberty, and as we would understand chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, we're really going to get the depth of what it means in 10:31 that we're going to look at today. I said that many times as we went along there. How many of us have made the choice to read all three chapters together? Choices. Freedom in Christ to choose. What choices have you made this month concerning what you do? What you put your time into, activities you did, all the things you've done this summer, what you have watched, what you've listened to, what you've interacted with, the relationships you've had, what choices have you made about those, you making choices. Now, I'm not saying any of this to be against us in any of this. What I'm saying this for and asking you these questions for is for your benefit and mine. Recognizing this is life, recognizing this is how we go along. And now we're going to look at one of the most essential verses in the Bible. In our passage today, look at verse 31. This is one of the most essential statements of the Bible. Look at it. He says this: then whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's one of the most essential verses in the Bible. Whether then you eat or drink, meaning anything that you're doing, whatever you do, you see the choices there. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You see the choices in that, isn't it? Choices that he's talking about. And we make them all the time, using our freedom to choose for God's glory. Can I tell you something? This body of Christ, this church family, we're committed to that. It is a central main commitment of this church family, is to be committed to the glory of God. That's our main focus. We are committed to the basically one thing, giving God glory, not in theory, but in action. The intentions of the ministry here, the intentions of our lives as believers, is to be committed to one thing, God being glorified. It's our commitment. That's our goal. That's our purpose of existence. Let me read you our Constitution. Constitution, they're back there if you want to see them. But listen to what it says in our Constitution. Now remember, this is in theory. This is action. This is what we've put down to say, here's our main purpose and basic function. The chief objective of Living Word Fellowship, that would be this church family, will be to glorify God. In recognition of this purpose, we will endeavor to conduct our lives and services, our lives and the services that we have for the church, in a worshipful way, with the reality of God in view, so that we may ascribe to Him and reflect back to Him as He enables us the characteristics of what He is, especially His truth, His holiness, His love. That's a reality of what we're committed to. It's a reality of what we're living. It's not just words on a page. It's what God has prompted us in our heart and to lead us. It's from this verse right here. We're going to give glory to God in whatever we do. Now, we stumble in things and we do things as all of us do, but that is our commitment. So let me ask you, what's to the glory of God? You have to have a good defining thing in your heart to the glory of God. What's to the glory of God? Do all what you do to glorify God. There's two expressions of that. And you might want to write this down. This is a good place to take some notes on some things here. It's expressed two ways in our text here what glory means: to give Him glory or to glorify Him. And in context, it has two meanings here. One would be weight. It's kabos in the Hebrew. Giving weight to who God is in your life. Listen to this. This is giving glory to God. This is to give Him glory. It's giving Him the weight that He belongs in your life, the worth that He belongs in your life, expressing with your life, let me say it this way, the weight of God to you. By your choices, you express the weight of God. That's what we're talking about here. And whatever we do, whatever it is, we eat or drink, we want to give glory to God. We want to give the weight of God that He is to our life, expressed in how we do the things that we do. We want to give the worth of God. It wants to come out in our life. What God means to us, what the goodness of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God, what God, the truth of who God is and the weight it bears upon our life as we would live. That's what we're talking about when you give glory to God. One of the things, by the way you live. Second way to glorify God, to glorify Him. Glory means giving recognition to His character, His nature, and His attributes of God by the way you live. So our commitment is to live and do ministry in such a way that it expresses the weight we give to God in our lives. Should be first and foremost everything in our life, that we give weight to Him. There's a few of you here that are engaged. One's wedding's coming up pretty soon. We'll figure out when yours is going to come up. But in the central of your marriage, in the central of you getting married, Christ-centered, you want Christ in the center of your marriage, you want to give Him all weight to your marriage. And in your marriage and in your life together, what you want to do is you want to reflect the character and nature and the attributes of God in your life together: His mercy, His grace, His love, His justice, His faithfulness, love, joy, peace, patience, all those kind of things. You want them to come out of your life. You want to express the weight we give to God in our lives as we reflect His character, giving recognition to His attributes, especially His truth, holiness, and love. That's glorifying God. We do this in all the ministries that we do here. Think with me for a moment. Children's ministry. It's about them learning His truth, knowing God, God's character, God's attributes, and them knowing God in a real way, that He's a saving, graceful, forgiving God through Jesus Christ, to know Him and to live in such a way that they reflect God's character and they give recognition to the weight of God in their life. That's children's ministry. It's the same thing in youth. It's the same thing in women's ministry or Bible studies or men's or shepherding groups or usher ministry. Let me tell you about the ushers here. The ushers here serve here in this church each and every Sunday. Here they are. They come early. They turn the air on. They open up the buildings. They blow off the dirt. They check the bathrooms to make sure that there's stuff for us that we need in the bathrooms. They check the grounds. They're looking at the cars now, making sure people aren't messing with your cars. They're serving, 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 and they're reflecting in their service by their diligence and their perseverance and by their faithfulness and by their excellence on how they serve, the weight God gives in their life. And they're reflecting the character of God by being kind and patient and caring. And now, we all know they're not perfect either, right? But they want to do their ushering to the glory of God. You want to live your life to the glory of God. We want to make all of our choices to the glory of God. But you have to know what the glory of God is. You have to understand what it is. It's that all that I do, I'm putting the most importance, the worth, the weight of God in my life. I want it to come out in my life and the way I live, in His character, nature, His attributes, the way He is, be reflected in the way I live. So if you serve in any ministry here, you do it to give recognition to God's glory, His character, His nature, expressing the weight of God to you. We're committed to that as a family of God. But listen to me, not just for us here and when we do ministry. Not just here on Sunday or Wednesday and all of that, but in all of our life. Let me tell you something. You know why we do parenting classes? We do parenting classes to help mom and dad live to the glory of God. We teach the things of God's word about how it looks like to be a parent that would give the most weight to God in their life, and how they would express that to their children and shepherd the heart of their children and shepherd them in the truths of who God is and the character and nature of God, while we're trying to express as parents the character and nature of God and making the choices that would glorify Him, reflect Him, and give Him the most weight in our life, the first and foremost place in our life. That's why we do marriage classes. Because in the marriage classes, we want you to understand God's word and how your life reflects the Lord's glory, reflects your relationship with each other, reflects the relationship that Christ has with His church. That's why we do self-confrontation, to help you apply God's words, that you would individually in all the areas of your life, you would do this, you'd glorify God. We do all that we would do, and there's many things I wrote down there. Because our commitment is to whatever we do to the glory of God. And that's a great commitment here. It's a commitment of our heart, the church, the body of Christ, and for us as we would live out in this world, that we do what we do to express the weight He has in our lives and to give recognition to His character. That's the choices that we make. We're making choices for His glory. So in Paul, and as we would look at this, as we would look at what Paul is talking about here, he's summarizing what he's been teaching on. I've been illustrating on how that looks like in the life of a believer, in the life of a church, in us, by talking to us about our commitment here. So Paul summarizes it for us. He gives us the principles, the point, the practice, and the picture of it. Look at it with me. Like I said, I'm not going to talk about everything. We just got to kind of move along here because we've been talking about this for weeks. The practical principles in making choices for God's glory. Look at the first one. It's in our outline here. Verse 23, growth over gratification. This makes sense. Look at it with me. Verse 23, Paul says, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Now, you got to understand what he's talking about. All things are lawful? No, he's not talking about sin and corruption. Hey, it's lawful. I'll just go rob the store. I'll just do whatever. He's talking about in the choices that we have in this life on the things that aren't prohibited in the Word of God. All things are lawful. God's given us the freedom in Christ to choose some things that we would choose from. He's talking about making choices to do something not prohibited in the Scripture. You know, it's lawful. It's not sin against God's word for you to choose whether you open your Bible and follow along or not. It's not in God's word. Boy, that's prohibited from you sitting there and not opening your Bible. The Word of God doesn't say you have to or it's prohibited you from not doing that. You have a choice. The freedom, where you eat today, okay? That's not in the Word of God. It says, oh, you're prohibited from doing that. Or what you have, or where you go to lunch, or whether you choose to read the text before you came to church, or is it lawful? It's lawful to choose where you go on vacation and when you go on vacation, and whether you swim at vacation, or whether you fish, or whether you go to the beach, or climb in the mountains. What you talk about. Whether you write on Facebook or not. We have choices that we have in this life that we just make on what we do and how we are and those kind of things. That's what Paul's talking about. In context, what he's talking about, eating meat. I can eat meat. Nothing in the Word of God says I can't eat meat. I am freedom in Christ to eat meat. In fact, in our text, it says right in here, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. I can have a piece of chocolate too. Now, there's principles that guide all of that. There's principles that shape all of that. But we're in freedom in Christ. Those choices is what he's talking about. And he says, not all things you choose to do are profitable. Not all things are edifying. That's what he's saying. You're in freedom to choose. But you know what? I'll tell you, you know, not to open your Bible, not to follow along, not to write a thing is probably not profitable. Surely isn't building you up in a way. Sometimes you can get built up, grow in your faith, grow in your relationship with the Word of God and what it's saying by opening it up. But you have the freedom to choose. That's what Paul's talking about. But not all of your choices are profitable. Not all things edify. Profitable means to be an advantage, edified, to build up. Together they mean growth. To spiritually grow you, or to grow others, or to mature you, or to mature others. Not all is profitable to do that. Some choices don't do that. They just gratify you, or they just gratify me. That's a reality. Give me an amen on that one, right? And that's what Paul's talking about. This is very practical principles. It's in our life we're choosing growth over gratification. I gave you a few verses in the text there in your outline, because this is a big subject in the Word of God. This is a big point in Scriptures. The last one I wrote down wrong. It's supposed to be Romans 15:2, not 12, so mark that in your outline. So what Paul is saying is this in these choices. To make them for God's glory, you're going to have to look at them to see if you make them to grow, mature, to build you up and others up, or to gratify yourself. That's the question that comes to your mind. You're going to have to look at your life. Look at chapter 8, verse 1, where we started all this. Now, concerning things sacrificed to idols, he's talking about eating meat. We know that we have knowledge. We know that we can, in the Word of God. It's nothing prohibited from you eating the piece of meat. But knowledge makes arrogant, and love edifies. Love for God, love for others. Verse 9 said, but take care of this liberty, this freedom we have to choose of yours, that it does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. We've talked about this many, many times. The choices that you make in your life, you don't want to cause your brother or sister or hinder the gospel in any way from going out in the world. In the choices that you make, you don't want to do that. Love edifies. Love builds up. Love grows. Love matures. Cares about it. 1 Corinthians 14:12, Paul said it this way. Just a couple of them that I'll make note of. He said this. He's talking to them. So also he says, you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. Now listen to what they're doing. Here's the church. They're zealous, seeking after the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts that God would have so they can be gratified, so they can be, they're proudful, a proud church, a proud people. They have pride in front of their lives, and they are seeking after these gifts so they can be recognized, noticed, and served. And he said, why don't you just abound in building each other up? And whatever God's given you as a gift, whatever spiritual gift, whatever God's gifted you to do, Gina, absolutely. You go there with a heart, I just want to build up to other people, grow in my relationship with you, Lord. I want to help others in their faith with you and mature and grow and have the gift, but I'm not chasing after the gift. You just use me in whatever way. And I want to abound in helping others grow. So what Paul is saying in our choices here and what we're talking about, it's very clear in the Word of God that we're to build one another up, grow, mature each other and ourselves. We make choices to do that or not. And that's what he's talking about. Let me give you a very practical illustration of it. And I've learned this in my own life. Now, you know, most of us get to go on a vacation sometime, right? Give me a yahoo on that one. Some of us get 1, 2, 3. Some of us will take 4 weeks of vacation. You, good for you. You know, that's great. I'm wonderful. Some of us have been doing that 10, 15 years, getting vacation, going on vacations. Now, listen, you can choose to make your vacation profitable, build up, grow, mature your relationships, grow your marriage, grow your living for God together. You can share things, talk about God's perspective, talk about life, living his way as you climb the mountain, as you fish, as you go over the roller coaster, as you relax, as you rest, as you enjoy what God, Legoland. Went to Legoland last year, right? And I grew in my relationship with my grandson as we went, and I grew and was in my relationship with other people, recognizing them, being patient with them. You can make it about growth. You can make the choices, even in your vacation, that would be about what God is doing in your life. Or you can make the choice that vacation is about being entertained and gratifying yourself. I've done that one too. Usually causes problems in our relationship as we're there. Usually causes, you know, a disconnect from what's going on, because all we are is focused. We got to get to the next thing. This is what God's talking about. It's about seeing life in a way that we can do all to glorify God. That we can reflect his character, his nature, the weight of him in our life in the midst of climbing Mount Everest or riding the roller coaster or whatever we do. We can grow. We can mature. The choices reflect the weight of God to us and the character of God or not. Do they grow us or gratify us? Next three kind of flow from that, moving along here. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Now, this is a summarization. I can't go into all the detail about it. But he's summarizing in this. And like I said, the next three flow from the first principles. Second one would be making choices for God's glory, chooses others over self. Look at 24. That would make sense. Here we are looking at that we want to build up, mature, and grow each other, and then those choices we make would have others over ourselves. Verse 24, he says this, let no one seek his own good but that of his neighbor. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says this, Paul wrote, love does not seek its own. Now let me ask you, certainly, do you want to display in your life the character, nature, and attribute of love out of your life? God says then, if that attribute is going to come out of you, then you're going to, in your life, put others over yourself. Because love does not seek its own. And if you're going to carry the weight of God and glorify God in your life and give him the most worth in your life, that in your life you're going to want to learn, God's going to have to show us and guide us in each situation how we are going to express the character of God in the midst of where we're at, and I have to put others over myself because I'll own up. I'm usually first on the in my heart and mind. See, so Paul is just talking about the practical ways that we choose in life and the choices that we have. The principle he taught in Philippians 2, let me look at that real quick. Philippians 2, 3 through 5, it's a very simple one. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind. Regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but the interests of others, having this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Lord, I want the attitude of Christ in my life. I want the attitude of Christ in my life. I want to glorify God with the choices that I make in my life, and I want the attitude of humility, Lord. So you're showing me, then I'm going to have to see in my life that where do I do things from selfish and empty conceit, and where do I not consider others more important than myself? Mom was here. She's not here today, but if she was here, this is how this goes in our family when she's here after church. Hey, we're going to go to lunch, right? Well, it's easy to give preference to Mom, right? But this is what happens. This is what we're talking about, the principle. So, Mom, where do you want to go to lunch? Well, son, where do you want to go? So it becomes a battle. Who's going to have, you know, who's going to consider each other's interests more than each other, that kind of thing. That's how that happens a lot. Well, that's okay. Is that okay? You know, have a battle in your home. Who's going to care about the other more than the other one? No, I love you more. No, I love you. Pretty soon the preference just becomes, you know, then one of your kids will come in and say, I'll take all the preference. Yeah, let's go here. That's how that usually goes. But you can see what he's talking about. The third principle kind of carries on with this liberty over legalism. Because, see, Paul doesn't want you to get bound in legalism and all this. So he says this, verse 25, eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord and all it contains. And if one of the unbelievers invites you and you want to go, eat anything that is set before you without asking questions for conscience sake. Listen, Paul doesn't want us to get stuck and not the freedom that we have in Christ. It doesn't say when you go to a butcher shop, sacrifice meat, unsacrificed meat. So when you go there, he's just saying, you know what? Don't get all legalist about it. You know what? It doesn't say, you don't know, buy the meat, eat the meat. Here would be legalism. You know, you go to the butcher, hey, you know, where'd you get the meat? Well, I got it from Bob. Can you call Bob? Can you call Bob, ask him where he got it from? Because I got to know. I'm kind of, you know what, I got to get, you know, I get pretty focused here. And he says, all right, I call Bob. Hey, what did Bob say? Bob said he got it from Jeff. Jeff doesn't know. He got it from Dave's butcher shop. I called them. They don't know. Well, can you go over there and find out if it's sacrificed? You see the legalism? You know, we've been free. All the world, all the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. God has given us this life to choose him, to glorify him, but don't get caught in, wow, you know, I don't know. Was it glorifying God that or not? Would be the same illustration here. You go to dinner to an unbeliever's house. You have the conviction in your heart that you're not gonna drink alcohol. It's fine, good conviction. So you're eating the food, got the steak and the sauce on top. Tastes like a little bit like wine. Hey, do you got wine in the sauce? Because you got wine in the sauce. I can't eat this stuff, okay? And you're at an unbeliever's house. You know, you can make it that way. Paul is saying, don't get so focused on everything that you lose the purpose of your heart and what you're doing. And then he says the next one and kind of goes with it. Now he says, but have love over legalism or have love over your liberty. That's what he says next. I got to illustrate that to you for how that was in my life, though. I got a good illustration on that. I was about 5 years into being saved, and we went to a theme park. We're right around the theme park, Magic Mountain up here, right? And my girls were there. Everywhere we went, man, I was applying it to God in some form or manner. Whether we were eating popcorn, whether we were going down the water ride, whether it was the log jam or the jet stream or whatever. You know what I'm telling my girls about? Oh, God's principle in this and God's focus on that and talking to people. I mean, it just was like that. And we're on a roller coaster and we're on one and I'm telling them about how the ups and downs are about the life. And all three of my girls go, Dad, can we just ride the roller coaster? Yeah, we could just ride the roller coaster, and, you know, and Krista gave me the face, and you know how all that goes. But, you know, learning, you know, yes, all of it is, I want to grow, Lord, I want to edify my family, I want to do it and all of that, but just ride the roller coaster, enjoy the thing you have going on in the moment. There's time for God, but don't get your liberty over love. This is what he says next. You don't want to get lost in legalism, but you don't want to get lost in freedom either. Look at 28 through 30, he says this. But if anyone says to you, this meat is sacrificed to an idol, don't eat it for the sake of the one who informed you, for conscience sake. I mean, not your own conscience, but the other man's conscience. For why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning the thing which I have given thanks? A little confusing, but what he's talking about is love over liberty. Listen, someone else's conviction that they can't doesn't control you. And your conviction that you can. I can eat a ham sandwich. I've said that many times as the illustration. That's where we started about chapter 8. But if I'm with a believer that says they can't and honor God in that because they have dietary laws and that kind of thing, I don't say, well, you know, I got liberty in Christ. I got Christian freedom. I'm just free to do all the things. Look, let me show you verse 26. The earth and the Lord and all that contains. And let me just chow down this big ham sandwich in front of you. I don't want to do that. My brother may slander, he may condemn me for what I thank God for, and God doesn't want us to do that. I choose to love them over my liberty. It gives me an opportunity to talk to them about their conviction, and we can grow, and that's profitable. And so that's just how that circled around like that. So what's the point? Paul gives us the point. Applying these principles to making your choices in life, look at 31. Here's the point. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do. There's the purpose, the point, to display the weight of God, to give recognition to who he is, what he did, why he came, to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all he is, to his character. You know, Psalm 19:1 says this, the heavens are telling the glory of God. You think about every day. In this creation, the creation is telling of the glory of God, telling of the weight of God, of the character, his nature, his attributes, tells it every day. The mountains tell it, the butterfly tells it, the flower that opens up tells it, the stars tell it, the moon tells it. All of this creation, the rivers, the water, everything tells of the glory of God. You would say, boy, he's pretty weightful, isn't he? And you can see the character and nature of God, but did you notice something? His creation, none of it rebels. You know, the butterfly just butterflies every day. The flower opens up, the mountain stays where it is, doesn't say, you know what, I don't want to be a mountain today, I'm going to go over here. And the star doesn't say, no, twinkle, twinkle, today, I'm just not going to do that. You know what, they all just give glory to God. Guess who God has given a choice to display your love for him, or whether you have it or not, in your own heart, in your own mind, in your own life, to make a choice on whether you will give glory to God today. Me and you have been given that privilege. Aren't you glad it isn't that we just are made to? That's what salvation is. He reconciled us back to God. He reconciled us to himself, restored our relationship with him, gave us the ability to not be slave to sin, to give us the way that we can choose to honor and glorify God with our life. God's creative design and what he's doing. And the point of our choices is to glorify him. It's what will be the pattern of our life. Moving right along, look at 32 and 33. He says, here's the pattern. Give no offense either to Jew or Greek or the church of God, just as also I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many so that many may be saved. That's going to be the pattern. That's going to be the practice. In all those choices over your life, you will make none. Well, you'll make some, but we want to make none. that would hinder the unbeliever from seeing or believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to be the practice. That's going to be the pattern in all of the things in your life. You don't want to be a stumbling block to a brother. You don't want to cause your brother or sister to stumble in their faith. And you don't want to be a hindrance. The idea here is by your choices, you seek to be blameless, above reproach, before humanity, and you'll make choices to do so. That's going to be the pattern. Just as Paul, he says here, just as I am, where in all my choices, he did not seek my own profit. Same word as in verse 23. I didn't seek my own gain, my own profit, but the profit of many in order that they may be saved. You're going to give up something in this life. You're going to surrender something in this life. Paul chapter 9, we can't go through all of that. In your life, if you're going to glorify God, you're going to make choices that say, I'm just going to give this up. Gina, thank you for your testimony today. That's what it is. That's what it's about every day in all of our life, to just say, you know what, Lord, this isn't about my gain, my profit. I got you. I got salvation. I got the inheritance of the kingdom of God. I got you with me. All things are possible. You're going to do beyond anything I ask or think. You've got me, Lord. I'm going to give up myself so you can profit many. And that's the Christianity that glorifies God in every choice that we make. And I understand how difficult that is and how hard that is, because I sit on the throne and so do you, and God is wanting to work in our life. That's our pattern, is to be this. Our commitment to glorify Him. Not seeking my own gain, but the profit of those who are lost in order that God may save them. That's the gospel. That's why Christ came. I need to take this verse and preach on it for a couple of weeks. This hit home with me Thursday. I was in the midst of this text. I was studying this, and I was on this on my heart. 32, 33, Lord, give no offense to anybody in humanity, and seek the profit of many over the profit of myself. And I was thinking about this on my heart, and then Thursday evening, I went to the back-to-school night up at Springville, Cameron's first grade, went, saw the teachers on my heart, and I'm just kind of open and listening to the Lord, and I had a better heart there. I wasn't looking like, okay, let's get this done, get home. We all do that. I know who you are. You're like humanity, like me. I was listening and paying attention and caring about others. And I was asking the Lord, you know, just how this actually applies and how does this work. And, you know, I had a great time. You know, we did the bounce house and we did all of the things. And we had to visit a lot of people. And Krista and I went in separate cars because she went early. And so I met her up there. And so we're done, and we're going to go home, and so I say, hey, I'm going to take Cameron, because we're going to go get jerky and Gatorade. That's our thing, okay? We go get jerky and Gatorade. We live it up, man, let me tell you. So she gets in the car, I get in the truck, and then so we're in the truck, and me and Cameron are getting in the truck. He gets in the back, and he straps his seat in, and there's these little bitty dogs running around. It's like four or five of them, right, Cam? And they're running around, and this lady that's there, I learned her name was Rhonda. She's calling her dog and that kind of thing. And I said, oh, you know, that way. And Krista goes by. I have to ask her something. Very interesting. I'm waving at her as she drives by. And then she goes that way, and I'm waving. And about 20 feet down, she finally stops. And she, you know, so I walk down, and I go down to talk to her. And she goes, were you waving the whole time? I said, yeah, you drove right. Anyway, not the story, but interesting thing. So I'm 20 feet away. Let's say I'm here to that pole over there. And I had my door open. So I talked to Krista, and we get it straight. And I said, well, we're going to get our stuff. And I turn back, and I see Rhonda, and I see the dog she's calling, and it is a pit bull, bulldog mix. And it jumps in the door of my car, and it jumps right on my grandson. And you know what we've been through. And my grandson says, Papa, I'm afraid. And as fast as the papa could move, he went 20 feet into the car, reached back, hurt my shoulder, and I threw the car out, the dog out the car. And then I stood there and I told this lady about her responsibility and what it takes to be a dog owner, and that you cannot let that happen in this life. And so we got in the car and we drove, and we got our Gatorade and we got our jerky. And then I said, Cameron, we've got to go back and talk to that lady. Okay, Papa. And it drove back, and I got out of the car, and the Lord said, the profit of many, Ken. So I asked her name. I explained and asked for forgiveness for the way I talked to her. I didn't cuss or anything, but you know me, I can talk pretty fast, and I let her know from beginning to end the responsibility of a human and a dog in this world, and that she wasn't, and then I got in the car and left. And so, in a humble way, and in a very short way, and a soft way, and speaking slowly, I asked her for forgiveness, and she said, oh, I understand, he had that happen to him. And I said, no, you don't understand. My faith in the Lord Jesus Christ carries more weight than that. And I didn't express the weight of God in my life. She kind of looked at me like, you're nuts. But the purpose is, the picture is to be Christ. Look at the text, 11:1. Be imitators of me, just as also I am of Christ. We know the image of Christ. We know the picture of Christ. We know what it is. 2 Philippians 2:6-8, listen to what it is. Although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, and became made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Can be as much like him that people see him in all your choices, no matter what they are, that they express the weight and the character and the glory of Jesus Christ. Your life can do that. He gave everything, right? The recognition due him, the world, the creation's honor due him. He had all of the right to it for the profit of me. And you. He made the choice. That's what Paul's wanting to teach us, what it looks like. Not to seek his own, but to give up so others would gain. Listen, give up living for this world thinks of you. Giving up living what this world and what you can get from it. And live to give recognition to this world on who Jesus Christ is. And let that be the weight of your life. That's what Paul has been talking about the entire time, all the way from chapter 8. And we stumble and we fail, but God is gracious and kind and forgiving and reconciling and faithful and persistent. And you and me have been given the privilege to display the glory of God, to tell the world of God's glory. Let's close the service in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you that you reveal to our heart and our mind things where we've stumbled or missed the mark or have not paid attention. You know what? You're not really concerned about the falling down. What you desire is that we would get up. That we would learn and grow, because see, the maturing and the growing and the building up is your work really in our life of sanctification, and that won't end until we're with you in glory. And you know that. And so in your kindness and mercy and grace and patience and love, you just desire today to make this day one that's profitable. That builds us up. Our part is to make the choice to see it that way. What a great God you are. We are so thankful for all that we have been given through you, and that you, like Sam prayed, do beyond even all that we ask and think. That you have the whole picture, the big picture, and the purpose of it all in your heart and mind, and know it and bringing it about, and we get to be part of it. So we pray, Lord, that today we would walk with you, that we would be parents that encourage our kids to see the weight of God in our life, and that your salvation in Christ would weigh that much to them and they would want to reflect you. And we pray in our marriages, Lord, that you would help us see how we are here to reflect Christ's relationship to his church, and that we can do that, and make choices in that and see how just in our daily life and each thing that we do, we can make choices, Lord, that are profitable for your kingdom. But we can live this life. We can enjoy what you've given and be a testimony of the saving grace. We thank you for that today, Lord, and pray. More thank you for your goodness and your grace in our life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We are dismissed for the day. Enjoy your last day of August. And tomorrow, Labor Day.